Something for the weekend. Good morning, how are you? It's Trina. Now, Celine Daly has been on the show a number of times before. There's so much to talk about in her field. Celine is an advanced nurse practitioner in dermatology. Good morning, Celine. How are you?
Morning, Trina. How are you doing?
Great. I was just reading about Deborah Meaden from Dragon's Den. I think she's probably one of the longest dragons on that show. And she was diagnosed with skin cancer after her makeup artist noticed a rogue spot on her face. They're the kind of things that you might ignore until somebody points it out like that. I mean, because she's on telly, she's someone doing her makeup all the time and would notice that. I would imagine so many people ignore changes to the face.
Yes, and the great thing, well, in the UK at the moment, there's a Karen Clifford Society, which is an amazing organisation looking at preventing and recognising skin cancers, particularly melanomas. And now in this case, so they run out some training for beauticians, for therapists, for hairdressers, and it's called Trained Eyes Save Lives. Trained Eyes do save lives, and that's the thing about skin cancers. You don't need a blood test or an x-ray to diagnose skin cancer. All you need is a trained set of eyes. Mm. And you don't have to be a doctor or nurse, actually, to recognise something is different. So another campaign that's actually in the US at the moment by the Skin Cancer Organisation looks at three things. Is something new on your skin that was never there before? Is something that was there before different or strange looking? And the third thing, is it changing? What we should all be doing is examine our skin once every couple of months. It doesn't have to be every day, but once every couple of months. And that's for looking for something that's bleeding, that's changing in shape or size, develops a strange or an unusual looking border, or basically something that wasn't there before, or something that looks different to everything else that's there. So our skin is not a blank piece of paper. Our skin has many colours within it. So we get, you know, some warty growths in our skin. We get some skin tags. We get some little hemangiomas or little red dots in our skin sometimes. But if there's something that is bigger than whatever else is there, you should immediately go to your GP. Don't hang around and think, I'll keep an eye on this. You know, maybe not. Don't second guess yourself. If something's new, something's bigger, something's bleeding, go meet your GP. In this case, for this lady, she had something called a squamous cell carcinoma. So there are different types of skin cancer. One type is something called basal cell carcinoma, which is the most common form of skin cancer. And one in probably two people will develop a basal cell carcinoma in their lifetime. And the basal carcinoma grows slowly over many years, and it doesn't spread to any other organs of the body. It's incapable of doing that. It used to be called rodent ulcers years ago, because it used to kind of hang around people's, usually their face, the back of their hands, or their neck exposed on areas. And they would slowly over a period of maybe 20, 30, 40 years grow bigger and kind of eat away at the skin. That's why they're called rodent ulcers. Now we can diagnose them. GPs are diagnosing them, and they're just cut off or burned off the skin, and they don't spread. This squamous cell carcinoma, still, it's on the top upper layers of the skin. It typically looks like a bleeding lesion, something that's bleeding or looks a little bit warty or is crusting over. In some cases, it may have the capability of spreading, not typically, but it may. So if you have something on your skin that's bleeding that wasn't there before, if you're over the age of 50, particularly, and if you have a fair skin type, if you've got green blue eyes, you've got freckles, you've been sunburned in the past, you've sunbed, you should immediately pick up that phone, ring your GP and get your GP to examine it. Often it's nothing and your GP can just say, no, you're fine. And if not, then you're referred to see a consultant dermatologist who can examine your skin with a specialised called dermatoscope and can have a little look and see if it's something. Yeah. If the dermatologist feels there's something there, they may do something called a skin biopsy, which is a very minor little procedure that we do. We send the tissue off to the lab and just see if there's something there. But skin cancer is the most common form of cancer in Ireland. So we all have to train our eyes for ourselves and for our loved ones as well to keep an eye on our skin. The great news about skin cancer, there's two great pieces of information about skin cancer. We know what causes it. It's all caused by overexposure to UV light. That's from the sunbed or from the sun itself. And the second thing is, if we catch skin cancer early, it is completely treatable.
Deborah is 63 and you were saying over 50s are more susceptible to this particular one. Mm-hmm. But she was saying, you know, she did know about looking out for moles, as we've all been told for years, to look out for moles and changes. But this started off as a persistent white spot. So she kind of, I guess she probably thought it was like a little white head or something like that. And then it changed. And like, only for the makeup artist, she probably wouldn't have done anything about it. So
that's right.
When you take a biopsy, does it leave a scar?
Tiny little scar.
Tiny.
So sometimes you take something like a 2 or 3 millimetre biopsy, which is literally like a, almost a little bit bigger than a vanilla seed, if you can imagine. Okay, so we'll take a small amount. Now, in the case of if it's what we think a malignant melanoma or a mole which changes, that's a different kettle of fish. You usually have to take the entire mole away, or the mole, or what we call a pigmented lesion away. And again, malignant melanoma is more serious diagnosis, but again, if it's caught early, it's completely treatable. Now, Deborah in particular, she's very fair skinned, so she's that typical Celtic,
she's blonde,
Irish,
blue eyes.
She's blonde,
yeah.
Blue eyes. And she says herself in her interview that when she's talking about this diagnosis, that she never really got sunburned. However, with the trained eyes, when I look at her skin, she has something called solar elastosis. And when you see somebody like Deborah, so basically she would have some sagging off her skin and some deeper lines, which means she's been exposed to UV light.
Right,
so
okay.
This happens over many years. So
without
when you're
knowing,
without knowing. And we often get patients in that say, oh, look, I don't sit out in the sun. But you have to park your car and walk to work. You have to park your car in the supermarket and walk across the car park. You know, you go out, obviously, for your stroll or whatever it is. So if you're outside at all, you're exposed to UV light. If you're in your car driving for work, you're exposed to UV light. And UV light is cumulative. So, you know, your holiday in Lanzarote, that somebody uses, you know, a 20-year-old, the sunburning you got as a kid, that all adds up on your UV clock in your body. And then over that, so again, these skin cancers sometimes take 20 to 30 years to grow. So DNA damage is done by the UV exposure over many years, and it can actually take a long period of time for these skin cancers to grow. Once you've had a skin cancer like this and you're fair skinned and you've done a little bit of damage, then that means that you have to be very careful to monitor your skin for other types of skin cancer as well.
Yeah.
But the problem is, if you imagine, so I'm from the west of Ireland and I'm dark haired, I'm brown eyed, and so is my whole family. But the typical skin type in Ireland is a skin type 1 to 2. I think that 70% of people in Ireland have red hair, blonde hair, light brown hair, blue eyes, green eyes, and they freckle, and they're very, very fair skinned. Now, when you think about my parents, for example, they didn't go on foreign holidays. They didn't, and they don't do it now because they're in their late 70s and their 80s. But typically people now are going on 1 or 2 holidays a year. They're using sunbeds. They're wearing less clothing. So years ago, my grandfather never took his hat off. He always had a jacket on. And now we're using bikinis. Think about Love Island. Think about that whole model of wanting tan skin, wearing skimpy clothing, using sunbeds. And all that cumulative damage is happening to our age group and younger.
I'm just thinking, Adele, of the photographs of my granddad at the beach with my mother when she was a baby in a full suit.
Full suit and the tie up the neck. They were very white, because I remember my grandparents wearing handkerchiefs on their head. Hats were designed for. They didn't take their tops off. So the older people we see sun damage, it's typically their hands and their face. If you're using sunbeds, which you should never do because they are so dangerous, you're exposing every single inch of your skin to UV light. It was never exposed before. So, you know, what's coming down the line is a huge amount of these skin cancers because of travel and because of exposure and because of sunbeds. So it's really important for everyone to have the trained eyes. Remember, you know, men, typically the research shows as well, aren't great for examining their skin. The typical story coming in is, you know, my wife told me to come here because she's seen something on my back. So it's a good idea to examine people at home, examine your partners, and some areas you can't see very easily, like your back. And the back is the most common place for malignant melanoma in men, for example. It's very important to kind of look after each other and to examine your skin regularly as well. And
I think that when there's loads of building work going on around the radio station at the moment, and hordes and hordes of men building, and you can see it. You can see the skin burning on them, and they're only delighted to be out in the sun. You're thinking to yourself, because that's the way it is. Like, men spend more time outdoors in their jobs when they're doing work like that.
They don't.
I wouldn't say that they're slapping on the sunscreen. One thing that I have noticed, Celine, though, years ago, you'd only see sun cream being sold in shops around, you know, June, July, when people are packing for the holidays. Mm-hmm. Now you see it all the time. You also see the sun cream for the face in particular as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. So the formulation has changed completely. Like, when I see Factor 50 to people, they, oh my God, they look at you like you're crazy. And years ago, Factor 50 was a gloopy, gluey, white,
thick, horrible,
acne-causing rottenness. But now there's so many different formulations. There's formulations for people who have acne. There's formulations for people who have eczema. There's great facial ranges. Then there's body ranges. And the price is coming down. I mean, you can spend a lot of money on sunscreen. And if you like your sunscreens, like I like my particular formulations, that's great. There's a couple of formulations I want to talk about, though. The spray mist ones, the aerosol can ones, are great, but research has shown they can fail you. So what people do is they typically go outside on a windy day, they spray an aerosol factor 30 or 50 on their skin, but actually the wind carries most of
it. It flies away.
And because there's a lot of gas in those canisters, you're not getting a lot of bang for buck, because there's only about maybe a third to maybe to a half SPF, and then the gaseous content takes up half of the canister or the bottle. So just be careful if you're using aerosol cans that you're using enough of them, that you're not using them outside because the wind will take them away, and that you're spraying all the areas of your skin. Invisible formulations are great because people like to use them, but again, it's invisible and you may miss certain parts of your skin.
Yeah.
If you have an acne type skin, go into your local pharmacy who have great formulations for people who get blocked pores as well. And remember, sunscreen is only one part of a whole SunSmart code. So go back to the builders on the building site. In Australia and in parts of the UK now, it's illegal for you to take your top off from building sites. So health and safety, yeah. And you have to have sunscreen in your as part of your toolkit along with your hy-vis and all the rest of it, but you have to leave your top on. Now, the great thing, again, there is clothing that is cooling. You know, obviously, you don't need to get somebody to wear a jumper on a building site, but there are clothes you can get that are cooling clothes. You know, the ones you wear when you're working out and stuff like that. And keep the top on. So sunscreen will always fail if it's used by itself. It has to be used along with keeping the clothing on, wearing sunglasses, wearing a hat, and seeking shade between 11 and 3. That's where Irish people fail down all the time. I live in Strand Hill in Sligo, and it's a fabulous place to live. But I see families arriving at 8 o'clock in the morning and staying all day out, all day long, not ever having a break. Spanish people, Italian people, French people, you'll see them having a break in the middle of the day. They take the kids in and the animals inside, have a siesta, have something to eat, and then go back out again.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't be outside all day in weather like this week.
Yeah.
If you have an underlying medical condition, or if you have children that are small or older people, they can get dehydrated very fast, in like low 20s. So again, it's about being prepared. It's about having your sunglasses, having your hat, know where you're going to be in the middle of the day, and have some shade, get some food into you, and drink plenty of water, and yes, use your sunscreen, but use your sunscreen as part of that wider program being SunSmart.
Celine, just before you go, you mentioned there briefly about those red dots that people can get on the body. What are they?
They're called cherry hemangiomas. So they're very common, and we don't know why some people get them and some people don't. And as you age, you get more of them. And they're just a pinpoint red dots in your skin. However, again, going back to our friend Deborah, she thought it was just like a whitehead or something like that that was on her skin. So if you do have a new lesion in your skin, don't go to Dr. Google for your diagnosis. Go to your GP, who can examine your whole skin and say, yeah, that's just a cherry hemangioma. Another common thing that people can get in the skin is something called seborrheic keratosis, which is a benign buildup of skin cells. It's basically an old age spot, and a lot of people get them on their backs, particularly, or on their torsos. But again, can sometimes be mixed up with a malignant melanoma. So unfortunately, we don't have a kind of a good digital system where we can diagnose skin lesions. So these are all skin lesions. Some of them are completely harmless, and some of them are skin cancer. So it's important not to self-diagnose. It's important to go to your GP, yeah, who can diagnose you and then have a look at you and say, no, that's absolutely fine, but we might need to keep an eye on this. And then they can be referred to a centre, like a hospital-based consultant dermatologist, who can examine your skin and diagnose you or do a skin biopsy then. And remember, early diagnosis is key. We can treat these things so easy once it's early. It's when it's hanging around for a while, particularly in the case of malignant melanoma, that it can become more serious.
Celine, I'm always amazed by your knowledge and amazed that you can remember all the names and the terminology. It's just mind-blowing. They never make these medical terms easy, do they?
You know, it's just to make it sound like we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Big Latin words, Greek and Latin words, and it takes me so long to learn them off myself, but I don't know how to do anything else, Trina. This is all I can do.
I know. Oh, you're fab. This is Celine. Take care. Thanks so much for your time today. Hope you enjoy your weekend. It's
you
something
too.
For the weekend on Ireland's Classic Hits.